The Shal Teshuvos Rivosh Simon Mem Dalit is discussing a very interesting question. We have, in the very first mitzvah of the Torah, what would seem to the ignorant person to be almost like a heter for small fry to get involved in giving over Divrei Torah and in Paskening Shilas. Why do I say that? What kind of mistake could they make? The pasuk says, "Hachodesh hazel lochem." What's the pshat of lochem? Rishon hu lochem. Svei mol gezok lochem. Hachodesh hazel lochem roish chadashim. Rishon hu lochem lochad she'ashon. We know that Rosh Chodesh is established by Beis Din. The fact that we don't have the Beis Din today to do it, we're not mechadish the Chodesh al pi re'iyah. So we have a calendar, but the calendar, in a certain sense, is also not an independent idea. It's basically established by Beis Din, but it's established by Beis Din for all the subsequent generations until the re'iyah is returned to us. So the question is, what happens if Beis Din makes a mistake and they misconstrue the sighting of the moon? The Eidim make a mistake, Beis Din makes a mistake. Is it valid just the same? So the Gemara says, Atam afilu shoygegim, atam afilu mizidim. So it, one might make the terrible confusion and error of thinking that what that says is that whatever a person does goes. And that's what the Rivosh is trying to say. That Beis Din has to be a legitimate Beis Din. And that halacha that's by Kiddush HaChodesh doesn't exist anywhere else anyhow. Let's take a look at the Rivosh. Ba'oisan ha-talmidim shalei higiyu l'hara u'mayrim aleyam ha-kosuv oimel ki rabim chalolim yipila. What's a loyma? Kishem Shahim Kenefel Isha, it should be Shaloi Nigbara Yitziyasai. It's like a nefel. What does it mean? Kirabim Chalolim Hipila. Ziyat Gemapult. It means, in other words, just like a baby when Rachmana Litzlan, he's born prematurely, he could be stunted in his growth, or he could not even be, he could be a stillborn. Right? So, in the same way, Kirabim Chalolim Hipila. People who are not prepared, who have not matured in their learning, and they come out and give hayras and paskan shaylas anyhow, are compared to the stillborn who does not have viability, who does not really have life. Then he says, "V'cholila shenipna toira al pidaitam hatoya miderech haseichel," and for heaven forbid that they should be the ones in charge of giving over the Torah. Loi amru chazal. Now he says, "Aye, what about that pasuk atem? Loi amru chazal atem afilu mutoyim atem afilu mezidim elo al kiddush hachodesh al pi Beis Din agodo ukamay shadoshu al hachodesh hazel lochem eidus zu mesura lochem." This eidus of kiddush hachodesh, of the sighting of the new moon, is given over to you completely. The gam heim. And by the way, he says, don't think that it's so poshut even by Kiddush HaChodesh. It is true that the Chodesh is established as a result, but that does not mean that they go scot-free because of their mistake. He says, "V'gam heim," right? "K'shetohu b'hoi ro'a v'osut sibur ma'is al piyem chayovim karbon. V'gam oisim ha'moyrim oirois al pi sifrei ha'rambam zal. V'lo kodmo lehem yediyah b'talmud harei heim b'chlal. Bagas liboy b'hara means he's such a balgaiva that he paskins without serious attention to the details or without proper preparation. He knows. How do you know? Because ich bin a tzaddik, ich bin a goyin, and ich bin a dagasta talmud chacham from the door. So of course he knows. So that's called gas liboy b'hara. The fishal yovin ikre advarim alamitosam. He says a person paskins shilas from the Rambam. Now, the Rambam wrote a compendium of Torah Shebaal Peh, and there isn't a topic kemat that isn't covered by the Rambam. So a person would say, what do I need to learn for? I'll just go to the Rambam, I'll memorize the Rambam, and every time somebody asks a shayla, I'll repeat what the Rambam says. So he says that if a person paskins a shaila. He needs to be able to go into the details and the depth of the shaila. And if he does not have the background in the Gemara and in the Mefarshim on the Gemara, he will never be able to come to a correct maskana. And he says, Shelo yovin ikre advarim al amitosam, kiven shelo yeda meichon hoitzi a Rambam zal adinahu. He doesn't know where the Rambam got it from. Just because he knows the words of the Rambam, you know very well that the Rambam did not give his sources. And then he writes, Vehine atik l'chot tshuva sarosh zal, l'chochem arab matzliach. The Rosh wrote a tshuva, and this is what he says, and this tshuva is being quoted by the Rivash. Zizel l'shono, al hamayrim hayro amitoch divrei Rambam zal. Ve'einan b'kiyim b'talmud l'das mehechon hoitzi dvarav, toye lahatir sa'asur u'lasar samutar. He's bound to do the opposite of what the halacha says. Kiloy asa kishar hamachabrim. Because what makes the Rambam unique, is unique in many ways, but one thing about the Rambam is different than all the other poskim. They gave immediately the source in the Gemara whence they derived the halacha. But who... Loi osa kemoi shar hamachabrim shekosvu rayos ledevrayim veheru al amokim shenimtzayim devrayim betalmud mitoich ze yocholamet al ikav al emes. If a person would know where the Rambam got it from, if the Rambam would say, I say this because, then a person would be able to deepen his involvement in that sugya and come to the conclusion that he needs to come to. For example, you have a shaila. So even if you want a paskal like the Rambam, for example, who says that your case is exactly like the Rambam's? But you may not even know unless you know what the Rambam is basing his case on. Where did the Rambam get the halacha from? I don't know necessarily this is a compliment, but he writes that he wrote his sefer like a Navi. Pronouncements without the backing of giving his sources. What is the consequence of that? He's not impugning the Rambam. But anybody who learns the Rambam thinks that he understands what the Rambam is saying. She'im einoi boki b'talmud einoi mevin dovor la'ashur la'mitoi. V'nichshal, he has to make a mistake. V'nichshal v'din u'b'hayra. L'chein. La yismich adam al kriyasei b'sfar of ladun u'l'hayreis im lo, she'im tzaraya b'talmud. V'chein shamati adam gadol b'Barcelona. She'ya boki b'tlosa sidri. He was a boki in the three starim. Mayid noshim and ezikim. V'omar t'mihani al b'nei Adam shalai lomdu Talmud v'kairim b'sifri ha-Rambam u'mairim v'donin mitoich dvarov. And here you see one thing, that this plague of paskening shilas from superficial sources where you did not have the background to distill the essence for yourself, this is a makkah that goes back 1,000 years. This is what that Gadol said. There was a Gadol in the time of the Rosh that was a Baki. The Rosh is saying this. Now, you know, the Rosh had an unbelievable historical circumstance because he combined the Masorah of Ashkenaz and the Masorah of the Baalei HaTosfos. It was a Talmud of the Maharam in Rotenburg, and he goes back to the Baalei HaTosfos. And at the same time, he went to Spain, and he lived in Spain, and he communicated with the Rashba, and he has a lot of that Masorah as well. So he says when he was in Barcelona, a Gadol in Barcelona, Barcelona's in Spain, a Gadol in Barcelona told him, I am a Baki in three of the six Sidrei Mishnah. He doesn't mean Mishnayis. He means that in their learning, they learned Halacha L'maisa. Zroyim at that time, they were in Chutz Laretz, except for Brachas. And Taris, except for Nida, is not Negeya. Halacha L'maisa and Kodshim. So he was not a Baki as well. He must have known some of it, of course. Anybody that's a Baki in three Siddurim must know something in the other three as well. But in Zroyim, Kodshim, and Taris, he did not consider himself a Mumcha, an authority. But in Moyed, Noshim, and Ezekim, yes. You know, I'm reminded, Reb Chaim Volozhiner came to the Vilna Gaon when he was a young man, and he's about the age of 17 or so, I don't remember how many times he said he chazed over Seid in Moed, all of the Masechtas in Moed. And when you say chazed it over, it means that, you know, he learned it pe'iyun many times, 12 times, 18 times, I don't know, many, many times. And he complained, ke'ilu, that he still does not know it to perfection. So the Vilna Gaon was reported to have said, ha? So few times, and you expect to know it to perfection? So he said, so how many times should I learn it? So he answered with a play on words by Machzir. Lo yuchal l'shalcho kol yomov ba'amoid v'hachzer ko'i. You can never stop chazering. You ask me how many times? I say forever. That is a bekiyas. When he said that he was a baki in three starim, it means a baki in three starim in the time of the Rishayim. So he says like this, when I learn a Rambam, in those starim that I learned the Gemara, I have a confidence. When I learn the Rambam, in Inyone Kodshin, in Inyone Tares, I have no confidence at all. Because I pashut do not know. Because I don't know where it's coming from. Listen to what he says. Ki ani maki ba'atzmi. Ki betlosa sidri shulamadati. Ani mevin kishani kairi besvarov. When I look at the Yadach Hazok of the Rambam, I understand what he's saying. Avo kishani kairi besvarov bilchas kodshin was royim. Eini mevin bohem klum. It's a pellet de gazach. And I know that since those people who paskin from the Rambam exclusively don't know Moed, Noshim, Nezikim either, so the way I feel about Zroyim and Kodshim, that's the way they really are in everything. So how dare they paskin Shilas? So this is the all from the Loshin of the Rosh in his Tshuva, which the Rivosh quotes, Ad kan l'shoin ha-Rosh b'tshuva ahi, Sfasayim yishok meshiv devarim nechaychim. The Abiya Omer, the last piece, it's a pasuk. Svasayim Yishak, as the Gemara quotes, when somebody said something beautiful, they kiss the lips.
Yeah.
That responds or tells over proper words. You know, in other words, if you said something beautiful, something wonderful, it's worthy of giving a kiss on the lips. Or if you want, you could say you could smack your lips, you know, with excitement, you know, like somebody ate a juicy piece of meat. Svasayim Yishak, Meshiv Devarim Lechachim. Shailas and Shuvas Yabi Aimer. In the very beginning of the tremendous Eitzer of Torah of Chacham Avadya Yosef, he wrote a Hakdoma to his Shuvas, an introduction to the Sefer, and in general to his approach in Paskening Shailas and how he presents a Shaila. And I took out one snippet, one little piece from that very long Hakdoma. And he says the following. He quotes a Marsha. Bayim b'soyta daf chavbeis ha-moirin ha-locha mitoich mishnosam. People who learn Mishnayos and paskin the Shaila from the Mishnah. Understand, the Gemara had the same problem about the people in those days that the Rosh quotes the Barceloni in his days and the Rivosh quotes in his days. Atzayv kaladairis. It starts very early. People had Mishnayos and they paskin based on their knowledge of Mishnayos because they didn't know anymore. Hare and Mavali Olam. These are people who destroy the world. The cost of Marsha b'chidusha agadasham, v'zel l'shoina. U'bedoiris halolu, he's talking about his own time, the Marsha, 1600s. Oysam shemayim halocha mitoich ha-shulchan aruch. Now listen to this. Mitoich ha-shulchan aruch. V'harei hein einam yoidim tam ha-inyon shal kol davar. They look at the shulchan aruch tells you something and they pass it like that. The Mashah says two things here. First of all, he says, what is the nature of the Mefarshim of the Shulchan Aruch, let's say? What is their relationship to me? So he calls that Shimush Talmid Chachamim. Normally we think of Shimush Talmid Chachamim as what? Somebody is in the presence of a live Talmud Chacham. He's his Talmud, and he hangs around, to use the colloquial, the Talmud Chacham, and he watches him, not only how he expounds upon the Torah in the Beis Medrash, in the Shir, but also how he passes the Shailas in real life. And that's Godul Shimusha Yosem Limuda, because it says about Elisha sheyotzak mayim on Eliyahu, and it doesn't say Ashaloma. Because yotzak mayim, that he served him, that he poured water on his hands, as it were, is greater. But it's not because he's doing him a service. It's because when he's with the Chacham in all of these circumstances, he sees his hanhaga in every circumstance, and he learns how he paskins shailus in real life. When you have mefarshim in the Shulchan Aruch, when you have the mekayros that are given by the Beis Yosef, for example, on the tour. So what is that Beis Yosef to you? It's words in a book. The words on paper. No. The Maharsha says that shimush talmid chacham. Remarkable. Because by giving you the insight to where this halacha is coming from, you have a greater insight into being to paskin l'shaila yourself. So he says furthermore, the fact that there is a Shulchan Aruch per se does not give you the right to say, now I have the last word on the topic and the mela I'm going to be allowed to paskin shailus. Now let me explain something more to you. The Shulchan Aruch was written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote many svarim. He wrote Shuvah svarim. He wrote also a very famous pirush on the Rambam called Kesef Mishnah. And he wrote an equally famous pirush on the tour called the Beis Yosef. Now you have to understand something. The Beis Yosef is a very elaborate, I don't have to give my haskama, but it's an incredibly brilliantly organized, besides the Gainus itself, but the organization is unbelievable. And what he does is he takes you from the Gemara and the Rishonim on the Gemara and explains how it is that the Torah said what he said. And whenever the Torah, which is, happens quite often, brings a machloikas between the Rosh and the Rambam, between, in other words, the Chachmei Ashkenaz Balei HaTosfos Masorah and the Chachmei Sfarad Masorah, and particularly the Rambam, he says, the Torah, the Rambam said this, V'adoni Avi HaRosh Zal said this. Every time that happens, the Beis Yosef goes in and explains the background of why there's this machlokas and what each opinion came out of the Gemara. How did they understand the Gemara? When the Mechaber, which we call him another name, the Mechaber means the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Although by the Sfaradim, they called him Mora. They don't call him Mechaber. In fact, Mechaber, they called the Chidah, who wrote a sefer called Machzik Bracha, which is Rashi Tevis Mechaber. So they very often call Mechaber the Machzik Bracha, the Chidah. But the Maran, you'll ask any Sfaradim, Maran, we paskin like Maran. So Memre Shnun, our master. Maran is the Mechaber. The Mechaber that we call the Mechaber is the one who authored the Shulchan Aruch. What was the Shulchan Aruch meant to be? Now, if you look at a Shulchan Aruch now, you have this huge volume with Mefarshim upon Mefarshim upon Mefarshim. In different Mefarshim, in different Sfarim. You'll have the Magen Avraham, you have the Ktzais in Choshen Mishpat, you have the Shach in Yeredeya and in Choshen Mishpat. Unbelievable. The Beis Shmuel, and then you have the Sma. A huge number, and the Biur HaGra, and Kleinigkeit. But when it was originally written, it was a small Sefer with few words, covering, I would say, I don't even know if I would use the word a digest of the Torah, but more or less a summary of the main points as he felt was the halacha. What was the purpose of that sefer? Don't forget that even the top of the Mishnah Berurah, let's say, right, is not just the words of the of Rabbi Yosef Karo of the Mechaber, it's also the Ashkenazi reaction of the Ramah, of Rabbi Moshe Isserles. But leave everything on the bottom out, and even leave the Ramah out. How much is there? A line on top of each page? A few lines, four lines, five lines sometimes. That's an Aruch Chaim. He wrote it on all Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Yeredeya, Ebenezer, Choshen, Mishpat. What was the purpose of that Chibur? The answer is the purpose of the Chibur was for Chazara. He said that with this work, you'll be able to get the gist, G-I-S-T, the gist of the Torah in all four halakim of Torah. And if you chazer it over every 30 days, if the mechaber on Arachayim Yerdeyev and Ezra Choshen Mishpat every 30 days, which can be done, not so terrible, then you'll remember the foundation, but he never had a havamina that should be the source of a Talmud Chacham's Psak Halacha. It's absurd. So that's what the Maharsha was saying.
So what happened, Lemaisa?
Very remarkable. The same thing that happened to the Rambam happened even more so to the Mechaber. What happened to the Rambam was that they had this Sefer, and it was a hidden Sefer because nobody knew what the sources were. So the first thing was the Magid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, the Ikar. They gave you what they understood. They were not Talmidim of the Rambam. They're much later than the Rambam. But they gave you what they understood to be the sources of the Rambam. Many times it's a machlokes what the source of the Rambam is. And sometimes we found even Midrashim, Midrashi Halacha, and all kinds of sources that they didn't even have in the time of the Kesef Mishnah, which were found in the Geniza or whatever. And they see that this may very well be the source that everybody was vexed. Why did the Rambam say this? Or how did the Rambam pass? Can you see black on white that that's where it comes from? In Rav Kasha wrote a sefer once upon a time. Rav Kasha Zechon Levracha put out the Torah Shleima. He wrote a sefer, a Rambam, a Mechilta, the Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. And, you know, he showed many, many sources of that. There are many other examples of that. That's how it started. But then when the Kesef Mishnah says something, you have to pay attention. So there's a Lecha Mishnah, and then Mishnah Lamelech, and Midink Tzach, and Ahin, and Tzavik, and on top of that, there are now hundreds, literally, hundreds of Svarim on the Rambam. Same thing happened to Shulchan Aruch. But even more so. So because it was Halacha L'maisa. So in the Shulchan Aruch, there are Perushim upon Perushim upon Perushim. Now when a person learns Shulchan Aruch, if he learns it b'iyun, inescapably he is learning the sugyas of the Gemara too. Because there's no way that he could understand a Magen Avraham or a Shach or a Taz or whatever unless he understands where they're coming from. The Shach can quote in 12 lines from 50 Svarim. The Shach Bechlal, you know, when you see the phenomenon called the Shach, you are, on the one hand, three things happen to you. The first thing that happens is you realize that you are absolutely nothing. No matter who you are, you realize you're nothing. That's the first thing that happens. It's good and it's not so good sometimes. You know, if you don't get a Chalishus Hadas, it puts you in your place and you say, well, you know, now I know who I am. That's very good. If you get a Chalishus Hadas and you say, well, this is not for me, I'm not in any league compared to this, what am I doing here? I'll become a plumber. That's not good. You'll make more money, but it's not good. In the end, that's the first thing that happens. The second thing that happens is that you are introduced, you realize that you have in front of you an Eitzer of Torah beyond belief. And the third thing that happens to you is that you conclude that the Shach was not a human being. Doesn't mean he wasn't a Yehud Isha, but he's a Maluch that's sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a human being, and that his purpose on earth was to give you this segment of Torah that we need to hold on to, especially in Golos. You have to understand that the Shach was spending a good deal of his life running away. This was the time of the Chmelnytsky massacres, the Gzeres Tach B'Tach. The Gzeres of in Poland, which destroyed the Nemirov and Tolchin, and they say at least 100,000 Jews were massacred by the Ukrainian Chmelnytsky Cossacks who were fighting with the Polaks. And the Polaks hated the Yidden, no matter which way you turn, the Swedes, the Polaks, and the Ukrainians. But the bottom line is that the Chalolim, the Churban that was created was the Yidden, the Yidden, the Yidden. They did tremendous atrocities in those days also, which are documented in a number of Svarim. But Bekitza, he's running, and he lived a short life to begin with, and he wrote these Svarim. I mean, it's just, you'd expect that a person needs a clarity of thinking and a peace of mind. They sequestered somewhere in a library, people take care of him, all of his needs are dealt with. It's nish segleib. And even then it's nish segleib, if it was under the best of circumstances. Anyhow, because so that's what happened. So the Mashah says here, getting back to the Mashah, he says, and the Gemara cited of Chav Beis, ובדורס הללו אוסף שמורים הלוכה מתוך השולחן אורך והם אינם יודעים טעם או עניין של כל דבר אם לא ידקתקו בדבר מתוך התלמוד שהוא שימוש תלמידי חכמים תאוס נויפל בהוירו אוסם והרי הם בכלל נבעלי עולם. Since the Gemara is only talking about Mishnah, we might think, all right, Mishnah is still, like, you know, very complicated and very short, and the brevity does not really allow you to paskin shailas. But Shulchan Aruch? Of course you can paskin from the Shulchan Aruch. So the Maharsha says, no, it's the same as the Mishnah. Without knowing the background in the Gemara and understanding the sugya, you are not allowed to paskin a shaila, period. That's what he says. And they are also included in the people who make a churban of the world. V'yesh liga erbohem ad kan. V'kein kosef ha-sma ba-hagdomose l'choshen mishpat. The Sma, Rabbi Yeshua Falk, the Sefer Meir Sinayim, who's also the Drishon Prish on the tour, in his Hakdomah to Choshen Mishpat, he writes, Shekavonas Moron v'horama b'shulchan aruch ha-yisa. What was their intention? Shelo yifsiku mitoich ha-shulchan aruch ki im lemi shaloma tchila arbo turim v'beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef brings in all the Gemaras that are necessary. V'yeda mekor kol din v'taymoy meha Talmud v'apoyskin. Ma she'en kei b'zman hazeh shomayrim mitoch ha-shulchan aruch. V'hein machrive yameinu, they destroy our people. K'mo she'kosvu ki rabim chalolim hipila zemi shelo yigia lo'ayro u'mayrim. A lot of times you think that a person that they're talking about, that we spent the last time, means a person who is a nincompoop, you know, who doesn't know anything. By the way, there are people who pass kinshilas like that too. I know a few of them. It's a bizarre naira that they're not exposed really, but lemaisa, it's terrible. I mean, people, chachomim, talmidei chachomim, they make a big production out of themselves. You know, they're the ones who usually end up in the newspapers, by the way. But in any case, they're not usually found so easily. He says here, the Maaseh Rav is the Minhagim and the Hanhagas of the Vilna Gaon. And there's a Sefer called Sheiltos. That's not Shilta the Rabbi Chai Goyim. It's a word. It means they ask little questions of Chaim Alojin and others around the Cheder of the Vilna Gaon. It's called Sheiltos. So it says there, Ha'olam Omrim, Ha'loimed Poiskim B'loi Gemara, Hu Kedogim B'loi Pelpelim. The world says that if a person learns Shulchan Aruch, for example, the Poiskim, without learning the Gemara ahead of time, it's like a person who eats the fish without the pepper. So it's like a shvacha tasty fish. It's not such a tasty fish. He says, Rabbeinu Agro, Omer, that it's not he's eating the fish, because the fish is still the main thing. He's eating the peppers without the fish. That's what it is. Interesting machlokes over here. Is it kedogim below pilpulin or is it pilpulin below dogim? But what the guy meant, of course, was that ikar is chasem and hasefer. There's no way of getting around hard work and many hours and the struggle to understand things from their very foundation. The biggest proof, by the way, I just want to be masbir something to you. A lot of people complain in the yeshivas, they learn in Azman. You know, Azman means from Sukkot to Pesach. So it's a long time, the winter Azman. So in Azman, there are short Azman, from Pesach till Av, and then there's the Elul Azman, that's the shortest Azman of all. All right, but in a big Azman, they may learn 10 Lat Gemara. And the Rebbe gives shir and shir and shir, every single day could give shir. Or at least three times a week. 10 Lat Gemara in a whole Zman? All right, it's just the first Seder. Second Seder, third Seder, you can learn other things. But still, first Seder is a big chunk of time. You're talking about till 1, 2 o'clock? From 9 o'clock in the morning? What's the pshat? So a lot of people are very negative about it. The emphasis is, if you take a concept, whatever it is, I'm learning now in my shir, in the yeshiva, I'm learning a sugya. The sugya is about Eidus, Hagodas Eidus. It's talking about Nogeya Bedava. A person has a vested interest. And there's a simple topic, not so difficult to understand, vested interest. So the first thing is that you don't understand what a vested interest is. Not what it is. We know a person stands to gain by giving his testimony in some personal way. But is it a Shaychat thing? Is it like you're afraid to lie? Because he's going to benefit from it? Or is it something else? And if it's something else, what is it? Before you know it, you're into what the Rambam says in the 15th Perek of Hilchos Eidus, Halach Aleph. And then you're into what the Shulchan Aruch says. And then the Shulchan Aruch, the Sma, on that simon, in Shulchan Aruch, Lamed Zayin, Choshen Mishpat, he brings a Lavush, they call it the Ir Shushan, because the Lavush, his name was Reb Mordechai Yaffa. And he wrote a Sefer, which had many sections. And each section he calls based on a pasuk in the Megillah. Umarach Hayotzel Mifnei Amelach Bevush Malchus Tchelus Vachur Vaterizov Gedolov Zachris Butzva Agamon. And then the end of the pasuk for Yerushan Saalu Besamecha. So happens to be that the section of Yerushan is on Choshen Nishma. So in the Yerushan he writes, he says the following. And I don't agree. From them, the ganze tzaflakung with the machloikas, with Rayas Ahin and Rayas Tzivik, and the Shach brings his Rayas, and before you know it, you're back by a Rimigash, and a Toysvis in Baba Basra, and a Toysvis in Nida, and a Toysvis, and a Ritva in Kedushin, and its gate, I say, it mamish explodes like one of these, fireworks, you know, where the little thing shoots up, and you think it's just white, and all of a sudden becomes green and blue and red, and then spreads all over the place. So Chumash, how do you manage to do something like that in 15 minutes? It takes days. And you want the Talmidim to understand you. It's one thing, you get up and give a shiur, you get from it whatever you get, and it's all vital. But if you want Talmidim to understand, and then what if you want the Talmidim to participate? It's mitamol, von ein sach, and it's one nekuda. It's four words in a small Tosfos. Imagine what else is going on there. So before you know it, you can cover 10 blot, and it takes an entire zman. Nish poshet. And I'm not sure that what they get from that, if it's done properly, isn't more sometimes than what they get when they learn 50 blot. Because the 50 blot, some of it goes in one ear and out the other. And in any case, I'm not so sure so much what they need the Rebbe for that sometimes. But in any case, whatever it is, it can go either way, and you know, each way has its point, and each way should be done the right way, then it has a hatzlocha. But what I'm saying is, imagine you take a line of psak. What? When? Where does it come from? And is it really so in this particular case? You see to what an extent that Reb Moshe, when he passed in the Shiloh, often would say, I'm saying this to you, not necessarily to everybody else. Or I'm saying it in this circumstance, and don't extrapolate and don't assume that this is the same when it would be in a different circumstance. So for all of this, at the very least, you need the background in the Gemara and the Poskim. But to say that, you know, you take out a sefer and you pass in a shaila, this is a very big problem that we have. But this is not a new problem, it's a very ancient problem. And that is also under the rubric of Talmid Shaloi Higia L'Horoa Umayra. Okay, there's a lot of times people get smicha. The old joke was, don't worry, on the back of the smicha is the telephone number of Reb Moshe. You know. So, I remember once a person got a smicha, and I went over to the Rav who signed the smicha, and I said to him, how you talking? The man doesn't know the whole Aleph Beis. I think he only can get up to the letter Samach. What are you doing? So he says, I told him that under no circumstances is he allowed to paskin. So I told this person, it would have been much better if that's what you wrote in the smicha, and you told him Baal Peh, whatever you told him. Telling him Baal Peh, meanwhile, puts the smicha up on the wall. But the one that takes the cake, you will not believe. A person meets me, this goes back many, many years, and we're talking, and for whatever inyan, we were talking about getting smicha. He says to me, you know that I have smicha from the stipler? Very impressed. I don't know that the stipler gives smicha, so he doesn't give smichas. I don't know enough about the stipler, but he tells me I have smicha from the stipler. I'm very impressed. So he says, do you want to know how I got the smicha from the stipler? So I mean, I gathered from that he wants to tell me. So I said, yes. So he says, I'll tell you. I said, be my guest. So he says to me, I can't believe it even when it's coming out of my mouth now if I repeated this story 400 times. He says to me, I went into the stipler, and you know he has a minig that he has his svarim, and he you can buy his svarim. You can buy his svarim. So I asked him if I could buy one of his svarim. And he said, yeah. Then I asked him, could you dedicate it? So he said, yeah. So he asks me my name, and I tell him my name Chaim Yankel. So he writes L'Harav Chaim Yankel, and that's his smicha. So normally you'd think that he'd crack up after that and say, "Now you understand the joke." He was dead serious. I, it could have been Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah. That's how serious he was. And I'm saying to myself, hey, Bazoi, there's no kashrus on anybody or anything. It's Bekitza, so the whole Indian of smicha, by the way, is not so pashut, but there are different levels of smicha, different kinds of smicha. The final analysis, you know, you have to take all of that with a big grain of salt.
I got mine at a place.
Now we're going into a different area. We're going back to the question of whether you can teach Torah. The Lashon Moisrim, by the way, is very appropriate to that Sugyas HaGemara in Chagiga, because the Sugyas HaGemara in Chagiga is talking about giving over very esoteric Inyonim, Maisim Brachos, Maisim Merkava, and how you teach Inyonei Arayis. So Maestrin here means giving over Torah. It doesn't mean like Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Misina, Misarim, Yashuv, Yashuv, is Canaan. It means teaching them Torah. But you give over Divrei Torah, it's like you're handing them. It's like you're giving them something that you're not supposed to give them. You're taking precious jewels and you're putting it in the hands of the Ganav. Ein Maestrin Divrei Torah Lo V'Kachovim Shenemar Lo Osachein L'Chol Goy. Now we hark back to refresh our memories. We spent a lot of time discussing this issue that Torah Shebichsav is different than Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, I told you there are different mefarshim and different ways of explaining what it means that the Goyim have it. Some say the Goyim stole it, and others say the Goyim are entitled to it. But whatever it has become universal. What has not become universal? Torah Shebaal Peh, because it remains Baal Peh. That's their point. So here it says, "May inyun le inyun, Amar Avami ein Meisrin Divrei Torah loy veKochavim Shenema lo Osachen lochol goy umishpatim bal yido." So Tosfos right there on the spot, Dibur Hamaschul ein Meisrin, Hiksha Rav Rebel Chon. Typically, the Oved Kochavim haOisik baTorah Chayiv Misa. Ein Meisrin le'akum sounds very, very soft. It's not so soft. A person who learns Torah and he's not Jewish, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that he's chayv misa. So Tosfos says, v'hamalamdo, and what about the person who teaches him Torah? The Jew that teaches the goy Torah. The goy is chayv misa. But what is the Jew? He's over on Lifnei Iver, lo sitein mirshol. That he's teaching him something that's forbidden to him to do. So he's facilitating the Aveira. Anybody who facilitates an Aveira is over on Lifnei Iver, lo sitein mirshol. Which again, we spoke about, it doesn't mean literally a stumbling block in front of a blind man. But anytime you trip somebody up, in quotation marks. So he's tripping up the guy. Why is he tripping up the guy? You think, like, what do I care? So let the guy be tripped up. It's not like that. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want anybody to do Averis, including the guy. So if you facilitate it and you enable him to go against Hashem and Hashem's will, you are over on the lav of Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Mirshol. So Tosfos continues. Maybe you'll answer the following.
What about Devi?
V'chi teima b'zayin mitzvahs did who? The Einoi Chayiv Misa? Maybe you'll say that it says you're not allowed to teach Torah in the Gemara Chagiga. It's not talking about Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, and Zroim, and Moyet. It's talking about his dinim. There are Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Right? Seven mitzvahs, six that were Matsuva to Adam Arishoin, and Eva Menachai, which was added to noyach. That's why it's called Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. So the Goyim are mechuyev in these mitzvahs. How are they going to know what to do? If they have mitzvahs, they have prohibitions, they have inyonim, you have to know what those inyonim entail. Well, what's that? That's Torah. So maybe it means teaching them these mitzvahs. So he says, and of course if he learns those halachas, certainly he's not chayiv misa. In fact, he should be learning those halachas. So he says, that you cannot say is the Gemara Chagiga either. Because just like he's not chayiv misa, because there's an inyan that he should know these halachas, and if he doesn't learn, how is he going to know? Then we're allowed to teach him also. The Gemara Chagiga says we're not allowed to teach him Torah. It can't, says Tosfos, be referring to the part of Torah that he needs to know. Because Adirab, who's going to teach him? And if he doesn't know, he's going to violate them.
So in order to be Mekayim mitzvahs, you have to know the mitzvahs. So then who's going to teach them? So again, we're stuck. Because Ein Meisrin Torah cannot be referring to the Zion mitzvahs B'nai Noach Torah. It has to be referring to the Torah that's exclusive for B'nai Yisrael. So then Tosfos is stuck again. Then he's Chayav Misa. Why didn't the Gemara say here that he's Chayav Misa? So he says, V'amitzvah ikal ha-maisun lehem, v'nafkulam ha-haikru asher yasa hosom ha-odom v'chay bohem, kayin levi noy ne'amar ala odom, sha'afilu oivik ha-chobim v'aisik ba-toyra. So, you know, the Gemara says that legabe his in yonim, he could rise to the greatest heights. So you can't say that you're not allowed to teach him. V'yesh loimah. So how do you resolve the problem? Legabe the things that he's mechuyev to know, you're allowed to teach him. Legabe the things that he's not supposed to know, he's Chayiv Misa. So why doesn't Gemara say that? Why does Gemara say it so softly? He should say, he's Chayiv Misa. V'yesh lomad ocha mayri afilu heichu de'ikoy v'kochovim acher sh'reitzo l'lamdoy. D'leko lifnei iver k'darminun b'avodazorah ha'moshit k'isyayin l'nozir oiver lifnei iver v'hani mili d'koi atrei ivra d'nara. Sh'balav nisin osoy i'yav sh'olaviyoy. Avol i'ylav hochi einoy oiver lifnei iver. Ochanami afilu b'mokim shay v'kochovim acher ratzo l'lamdoy. D'leko lifnei iver v'komukam osor mishamagid vorov li'akot. So the Tosfos says, the fact that the Gemara, it's implicit in the Tosfos, I'm going to add something. The fact that the Gemara says that he's Chayiv Misa, that's not a kasha. Because here they're focusing not on his problem, they're focusing on the fact that we're not allowed to teach. What Tosfos says remains a problem, L'chaira, is why doesn't the Gemara here say, not only Ein Meisrim, but you're over on Lifnei Iver? So Tosfos answers that question. Tosfos says, you know why they don't talk about Lifnei Iver? Because the only time you are over on Lifnei Iver is if you're a facilitator who is necessary. You're a sine qua non. Without you, it cannot happen. For example, you're not allowed to give yayin wine to a nazir because you are facilitating that he drinks the wine, and that, of course, it says he's not allowed to drink. A nazir is not allowed to drink wine, you are not allowed to give the nazir yayin. Because you are facilitating that drinking of wine, which is forbidden. What happens if he could get the wine anyhow? So even though the bottom line is that you are the one who's giving it to him, but in Lifnei Iver there's that detail, that requirement. To violate Lifnei Iver, you have to be a necessary agent. If you're unnecessary, but you do it anyhow, you're not violating Lifnei Iver. The expression that the Gemara uses by the Nazir is used whenever people discuss Lifnei Iver. Chad Ivra Denara, Trey Ivra Denara. Is it on the same side of the river? In other words, he has just as well access on his own. Or he's on the other side of the river from the wine. And you are fording the wine across the river to him. So if you're getting the wine over to him in a circumstance where without you he would not be drinking the wine, then you are over Lifnei Iver. But if in any case he can get to the wine just as easily, the fact that you're the one who gave it to him, you're not over Lifnei Iver. So Tosfos says, let's now go to the question of learning Torah and teaching that Torah to a guy. So we're talking about a Torah that the guy is not supposed to learn. Cannot be the Torah of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But the Torah that the guy is not supposed to learn, if I teach it to him, and without me, he would not be able to learn it, then when I teach it to him, I am over Lifnei Iver. What happens if he would be able to learn it even without me? Because I am substituting for his Goyish Rebbe, who decided to go take a nap, but tonight he could go back and teach him the same thing. So then I'm not over on Lifnei Iver, but still I'm not allowed to teach him anything. In other words, even when Lifnei Iver is not an issue, teaching a guy Bichlal, that Torah which is not his, remains an issue. Because Lo Asa Chen L'Chol Goy U'Mishpatim Bal Yedo. You're not supposed to be taught these by a Jew, no matter what. Even if you know for a fact that the very same Torah he's going to get from the guy anyhow. So that's why the Gemara here does not mention Lifnei Iver, because the Gemara says Ein Meisrin is across the board, even when Lifnei Iver is not a problem. That's the teretz of Tosfos. The Maharsha, right afterwards, the Maharsha says, Loi ka'omar ein melamdin Torah lo'evdei kochav. Remember, I said that the Lashon of the Gemara is ein moisrin, and it doesn't say you don't teach them Torah. And I said for the reason, because the Lashon over there fits into the Gemara, that you're moisrin to this one, you're moisrin to that. But he says something else. He says, Loi ka'omar ein melamdin Torah lo'evdei kochavim da'avadai. The Zion mitzvahs did who? Melamdin oisam. Ubishar mitzvahs hatayo evikachovim halomit chayav benafshay. Eloha dahacha nilmad meinyonoi. The ein moisrin loiv de kachovim hu tam v'soda mitzvahs. The Maharsha says exactly what I told you before, that it's contextual. The lashon of moisrin is because the Gemara is talking about moisrin. But it doesn't mean melamdin stam. The fact that the Gemara uses the lashon of giving over, it means in the same way that they're discussing the things that you're not allowed to give over to other Yidden who are not on the Madrega to be mekabelit properly, which means in the end, you're not allowed to give the goy, even legabi the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, the deeper and most authoritative meanings which he doesn't need to know to perform the Zion mitzvahs. Torah is vast, and there are many, many pshatim in everything. And each mitzvah has huge oitzvahs of Torah associated with it. So imagine, I'll give you a simple example. There's a Sefer in Chassidus that describes Chveis Eivim and Achai. I mean, Eivim and Achai, you know, we know what Eivim and Achai is. You have an Eivim that came off of the animal when he was alive. So you're not allowed to eat that. Even though they don't have a Chiyuv of Shechita. So now you have a question, how much does the guy have to know about the deeper and esoteric consequences of Eivim and Achai in the Zoya? The answer is zero. What is Negeya to him? He knows that he's not allowed to eat Eivim and Achai. He has to know what Eivim and Achai is. And he has to know what happens if he eats it, and that's it. Beyond that, he doesn't have to know. To fulfill the mitzvah, to avoid Eivim and Achai, he doesn't have to know the esoteric in Yonim. So what happens if a Jew teaches him? That's called Moisrim, Torah. You're giving over means, in the same way that it's used in that Gemara Chagiga, you're giving him deep and complicated explanations and meanings beyond which he is required to know altogether. So what the Maharsha accomplished by this is to say that even by the Tosfos says it can't mean the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, because the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach you have to teach them anyhow, because otherwise how will they know? So how does the Maharsha answer that question? He says no, it does mean seven mitzvahs b'nei noach perhaps, but the subtleties and the nuances and the beyond explanations which he doesn't need to know, then even in the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach you're not allowed to give it over to him. So that's what he says. They're secrets and they're reasons. He says as follows. He wants to teach you the Maharsha in a subtle way was meramis to something very important. You know what the Maharsha says? The Maharsha says, don't think for a moment that what we call mishpatim in the Torah does not have also that deeper meaning and that more esoteric pshat. Because it does. It does. And he says as follows. He says, the mishpatim of the Torah have taimim and taimim kmusim, and they have all kinds of subtle details which we are not supposed to teach the guy either. And that's why it says, umishpatim bal yadon. It's a kal v'chaymer type of thing. Even things which we would expect is more or less universal to begin with, such as gneiva, gzeila, and so on, mishpatim. Eila mishpatim ashatasim lifneyam. And they're mechuyevin dinim, so what could be different? So they say, no, even mishpatim bal yadon. Kalvachoymer, Eidois and Chukim, which we're called they have no Shaychus to. But the Mishpatim that they have a Shaychus to, we would have thought what? That they are entitled to a deeper explanation and understanding? No, Mishpatim Bal Yidom. So that's the Mashah's Pshat in this Sugya. So again, let's just review very quickly. The Mashah says that when the Gemara says Ein Moser in Torah LaHakum, because it says Lo Yasachin L'Chol Goyim Mishpatim Bal Yidom, what kind of Torah are we talking about? We're talking about even the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Either Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, he has to know, and therefore we are obligated to teach it to them. So he says, no, we don't mean the basic laws of the mitzvah. Of course that he has to know, and we are entitled to teach it to them, and there's no violation. Because that does not go under Lo Yasachin L'Chol Goyim Mishpatim Bal Yidom. What does go under it is Ein Moisrin. What does Ein Moisrin mean? The deeper, more esoteric, more complex explanations, you know, the Sifra Chassidus on these things, you do not have to know to be a good guy. Because all you have to know is how to behave. What halachas, the basic halachas. So in other words, he doesn't have to know all of the taimim and the soidos and the Kabbalistic implications. That's not his business. So when he does learn these things, because you taught it to him, you're violating law. How does Tosus answer? Tosus seems to imply that anything that has to do with the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, you can teach him. I don't know. Maybe Tosus simply decided to give a different teretz, but they agree with the Masha. But in any case, Tosus gives a different teretz. What's Tosus's teretz? That the kasha is, why doesn't the Gemara hear also mentioned Lifnei Iver? So what's the answer? Because the Gemara here is telling me that legabe those things where normally the whole issue would be Lifnei Iver would be a difference. Whether it's on one side of the river or on two separate sides of the river, it knows whether he has access otherwise or not. So what would happen if he has another guy who teaches him? Then you could teach him also. But the halacha says no, you can't. Because besides the issue of Lifnei Iver, which sometimes is not a problem, if he can get it anyhow, the guy is not allowed to be taught Torah no matter what. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Lo yasachin l'chol goyim mishpatim v'al yidom." Okay, we'll stop here.